the first 12 verses of Mark chapter 2. I want us to look at part of it this morning and part of it tonight. I want us to look at the purpose that Jesus says that He worked in this healing. It wasn't just to make this man feel better. He did do that. He healed him from something that had paralyzed him. But it was a purpose that Jesus had. And we'll see that purpose this morning that's so important for all of us to know in our lives. Something about Jesus that He's the only one to do. And then I want us tonight, the Lord being willing, to look at the laborers that were involved in four friends of this paralyzed man. I'll save that for tonight. But just know that we're going to look at these verses again this evening at a different perspective of it. Right now, I want to look at the words and the actions of Jesus Himself. Again, He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that He was in the house. Straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word to them. And they come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which were born of four. There were four friends bringing this one man who was sick of palsy. And when they could not come nigh unto him, for the press, for the multitude of people that were around the door and in the house, they couldn't get close to Jesus. They uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." There were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Listen. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He said to them, "Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk'? But," and here's His reason, "that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house.' And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His word. I ask you if you would go with me to the throne of grace, that the Lord would give us understanding. Father, we read your scriptures. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Father, as you have inspired its writing, we beg today that you would inspire our hearing, that as you gave it with a purpose, you gave it with an unchanging truth, that we would hear the importance of the message that you would give us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. It's interesting to notice that as we read these verses, that Jesus had come back into Capernaum after some days. We're not told exactly how long it was, but it's there in light of the last verse of the previous chapter. You remember we studied last week that Jesus had healed Peter's mother. He had healed a bunch of folks that had been brought to him. He had cleansed a leper. And as he did all of those things, the last verse tells us in particular that that leper went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. What he did brought so much attention. He gave instruction to this leper that he don't go tell everybody, but he did. And there were those that gathered around him. Folks, what changes the Lord makes in our life, we ought to share them with somebody else. Well, I wasn't like that leper. I wasn't like this man that he talked about in the second chapter. Let me tell you, all of us have been changed by Jesus Christ. Here was a man who was brought to Jesus after Jesus had come back into town. He came back into town, and immediately there were people that were brought to him from every part of town, and the house where he was filled. There were so many people, there wasn't room inside the house. There wasn't room outside the house to get to the door. And yet these four men, four friends, brought this man of whom we're told no name. They brought him to Jesus. Jesus that had healed a leper, Jesus that had healed a fever, Jesus that had healed a multitude of other things. This man who had this disease, palsy. Now, there's a lot of differing opinion as to the degrees of what this was. But here was a man who was carried on a bed, and he was paralyzed, or at very least, he was unable to get himself up. He couldn't move himself about. Here was a man who was literally limited because of this disease. Those four men that brought him, they brought him in faith, and the scripture recognizes that. They brought him to the place where Jesus was, believing that Jesus was able to heal him, and they couldn't get in. So they went up to the roof, and we'll talk about that tonight, so if you have questions, just hang on to them. They went up to the roof. They opened up the roof. They broke it up. And when they did so, over where Jesus was, they let this man down. And you can only imagine the care, the compassion, and the effort that these four had for this individual. And they let him down where Jesus was. Jesus saw their faith and their faithfulness. And Jesus turned and began to speak to the man. Now we'll talk about what the friends did and about the circumstances in another message. But I want you to notice Jesus' words and his purpose in preaching that illustration, in touching that man, in bringing that message. Look with me, if you would, in verse 5. Jesus saw their faith and said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now I want you to notice, first of all, the address that he makes to this man. He addressed him as a son. He addressed him as a member of his family. He addressed him in a relationship. But he speaks to this man whom he addressed as a son, and he said first of all to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Brothers and sisters, every sickness is not the absolute imminent result of a particular sin. Every occurrence in life cannot be traced and pointed, well, he did this, therefore that happened. He failed here, therefore he got sick here. He did this, therefore that happened. You can't do that. And the reason you can't do that, if you'll remember over in the book of John, Jesus was asked, who did sin, a blind man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. But that the glory of God would be made known. Now, there was not a particular sin that we're told anything about in this man's life. But the reality is, in this world, sin is always present. The nature of sin is always within us. I may not see the outward effects of yours. You may not see the outward effects of mine, but Jesus knows our sins. And when Jesus addressed this man, Jesus addressed him not in condemnation, not in belligerence, not in belittlement, but he addressed him as a son. Folks, as God calls us, he knows our failings. And when he turned to this man, he said, "Son, thy sins," plural, "thy sins be forgiven thee." You'll notice this man didn't argue with you. "Oh, I haven't done anything." We try to sometimes, don't we? But the fact of the matter is, Jesus knows our failings. Jesus addressed this man, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, when he addressed this man, the fact of the matter is he was healed. He was raised up in just a few moments. But I want you to notice that Jesus worked a healing in this man's life. And he used the words that he used, and he did it the way that he did it, that a special message would be given. And I'll tell you that it's this message that needs to be given fully and completely into our hearts today. There were men, scribes, perhaps Pharisees, there were men who knew some things about the Scriptures, heard Jesus say, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And boy, it got their dander up. Who does this guy think he is? Only God can forgive sins. Jesus immediately knew what their thoughts were. Jesus immediately knew their questions. Jesus immediately knew their presumption. And his response to them was, "Why reason you these things in your heart?" Why are you asking this question? Is it easier for me to say to this fellow, just get up and walk? Or is it easier for it? Was it a matter of being easy for him to do it? It wasn't a matter of just, he had the physical power. He'd already proven he had the power to heal. There was not a difficulty with him at all. And you see, beloved, that's one of the things today that we need to keep in mind with this man's life. Whatever was included in that expression, "thy sins," whatever it was, there was no sin that was too difficult for Jesus to forgive, and no difficulty that he had that was too difficult for Jesus to handle. Now I want you to notice two passages of Scripture. We think of them in one particular way, but the truth of them is very important. Jesus looked at these men and said, "Is it easier to do this or this?" Look back in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. Look in Genesis chapter 18. We look in Genesis chapter 18, we find in this passage that the Lord is talking to Abraham. And he was making a promise to Abraham. And he made a promise concerning Sarah, Abraham's wife. He told Abraham that Sarah, the next year, was going to have a child. Abraham looked and said, okay, I'm an old man, she's an old woman, how's that supposed to happen? Look at what the Lord responds in verse 13. Sarah, the Bible tells us Sarah laughed about it. The Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Here's the question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? If you go back into the book of Luke, you'll find a similar question. Luke chapter 1. Verses 34 and 35. The angel had talked to Mary about what was going to happen. Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For, and what's his statement in verse 37? With God, nothing shall be impossible. The angel made a statement to Mary. The angel asked the Lord asked a question of Sarah. But there's the same question. Is anything too hard for God? Folks, we look at that in the birth of Isaac, the promised son. We look in the birth of John the Baptist. We look in the birth of Jesus, and we think about conception. We think about the beginning of life. But I will tell you, folks, there is nothing. It's the same truth. There is nothing too hard for the Lord to deal with in our lives to bring about the forgiveness of sin and the cleansing of our soul and the giving of new life. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus understood what was there. And I'm convinced there was a sinfulness at some level in that man's life, or Jesus wouldn't have used that question, that statement. But here was a man whom he spoke to and then turned around and spoke to others who were questioning. Who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins. Well, who was it that the angel said to Mary? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And you see, Jesus looked at those who questioned him, those who doubted his identity, those who had reason to say he doesn't know what he's talking about. He looked at them and he said, I want you to know something. He said to them, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, that's a tremendously important statement for us to understand, that the working of Jesus in the lives of this man and so many others, and in yours and mine, is that we might know that Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, has the power to forgive sins. It's not just that He has the capacity. That word that's translated as power is the word exousia. It's a word which carries with it the idea that it has the ability, it has the privilege, it has the competency, it has the authority, it has the jurisdiction, it has the strength, has the right. All of that is involved in that word, power. You see, what Jesus was saying, I want you to know that first of all, I have the capacity, the capability to forgive, but I also have the right to forgive. I have the jurisdiction over you and over your sin to forgive your sins. I have the liberty to do so. Why? Jesus is the one today, and He's the only one today that has the power on earth to forgive sins. Why? He hung on the cross at Calvary, and all of the wrath of God was poured out upon Him for all of the sins of those that were given Him of the Father. I hear people say sometimes, oh, every man's sins were forgiven at Calvary. Well, if every man's sin was forgiven at Calvary, every man's sin would be cleansed completely. It's not. But there was a body of people more numerous than the sands of the seashore and the stars of heaven that were placed in Jesus Christ. And when He died, all of the condemnation of their sin in Him was finished. You remember what He said as He hung on the cross? He came down to His last breaths. He got to that point, and one of the statements that He made was, "It is finished. It's paid in full." You see, He has the right to forgive our sin because He paid the condemnation of our sin. Well, preacher, you just don't know what sins I've done. You just don't know how bad I've been. You just don't know what I've got hidden. I don't, but He does. And He looked at that man who obviously who had some secret sin in his life. He looked at him and said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." I'll tell you, folks, the great joy of that sentence is that, first of all, Jesus, because of His blood shed on Calvary's cross, has the liberty to forgive our sins because He paid for our sins. He has the authority to forgive our sins because God the Father has made Him judge over all the earth. He has the capacity to forgive our sins because He's been placed in a position that is over every name, and every person, every knee will bow before Him. Folks, I want to tell you today the staggering truth of the depth of that sentence. Jesus did what He did so they would know that He had power to forgive sins here on earth. Well, He'll forgive us when we get to heaven. No, He forgives us now. And our sin is washed away. Now, I still have sin in my life. Paul had sin in his life. He recognized that. The things that I do, I ought not to, and the things that I ought to do, I don't. He understood that he had that, and it made him cry, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But the answer is, Jesus said, "I have the power to forgive sins." In the book of Acts, we're reminded that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But there is a name, and that name is Jesus. Jesus, God come in the flesh. Jesus, God the Son. Jesus, the Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son. Folks, I don't know what you may have in your life today. I don't know what rebellion may go on in your mind. I don't know what struggles you may have in your life. You may have someone in your family that's not even here today, but you know that there's a battle, a struggle, a weight that's going on in their life. The great message is that Jesus has the power to forgive sins. And He says to all those that labor and are heavy laden, come unto Me, and I will give you rest for your souls. That man got up and he walked out of that building. I could just remember, this is a house now in which there wasn't enough room for them to even get through the door. They had to let him down through the roof. But I can just imagine, like the Red Sea parting, that as he started walking out of that place, the awe and the amazement as people moved to the side and he walked through. And they said, we've never seen it like that. You see, folks, Jesus can do things that other people have never seen. Jesus can forgive sins that no one else can touch. Jesus gives the assurance of salvation that no one else can assure. It's never been like it is in Jesus. I would say to you today, Jesus says, son, thy sins be forgiven. If He's calling you, the assurance of your heart and of your life is that Jesus forgives your sin. And I would say to you today, if you're here and you've got the weight of that sin, maybe you've kept it secret, maybe it's deep inside of you. Nobody else knows about it, nobody else sees it, but it's a weight that's on your life. If it is, arise and walk, lay it down. Because Jesus forgives your sin. In the midst of all of the drama, of the roof tearing open and the man being let down and the work of all his friends, the one thing is about Jesus. You see, folks, the greatest thing is that Jesus forgives sin. That's our hope today. Believe in Him. Trust Him for the forgiveness of your sin. Follow Him. May the Lord bless us, is my prayer. We're going to stand and sing a final hymn.